Hey guys, we're back. Another episode of Smart Brand Marketing. Today I have a cool guest. So one of my friends shared a blog post with me and I found it to be one of the best blog posts of the year. Actually of last year too. So just one of the best blog posts I read in a long time. And then Tommy Griffith, who was on the call, he reached out to me and I was like, yeah, come on in. So he owns ClickMinded and I'll ask him a lot of questions so he can find out what he does, but it's a cool story. What's up, Tommy?
Tom, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, I was actually looking forward to it. Like, I reread the blog post, and I'll share this in the show notes too if you guys, want to read through it, but it pretty much explains the journey, right? Which was like about 8 years of building this company.
Yeah, I had sort of summarized. It's interesting. People really enjoy it when you talk about how miserable your life is and you and like stepping on rakes in the yard and falling down and tripping over yourself all the time. But yeah, I started a side project a long time ago and went full time on it 2 years ago and then sort of summarized the last 2 years in a blog post.
So what I liked about the article, and it's just because that's the way I think, 8 years, that's how long it took of doing the same thing and getting better at it to really make it happen. And then just figuring the process of figuring stuff out. So I'm not really looking at the failures. I don't like the failure porn, that happens. And people glorify
it. Right.
I actually don't like that. But I do like if someone explains how they figured shit out.
Yeah, I'll buy that. And have you seen Nat Eliason talked about this? I think he called it struggle porn.
Yeah.
Right. This too much kind of the Gary Vee entrepreneurial misery sort of stuff that there's a lot of that, which you could argue this very much is as well. But yeah, of course, I laid out the blueprint for how I did it, even though there were a bunch of failures along the way, for sure.
I mean, it's not really failures. It's bumps, man. Like anytime you're running a business, you're going to have problems. And then you got to overcome, right? Now it's just the difference between what you focus on. Are you focusing on these big problems that you have, or it's just, like the way I write is like, I need to find solutions to these things, right?
Right.
So it's just that focus is different, right? Like, yeah, of course we have problems. I mean, that's, anytime you deal with clients and employees and just anything with business, like you're going to have problems, but it's just what you focus on. And I actually found the article to be very positive. Right. I didn't find the failures to like stick out. It was more of like, look, I overcame all this stuff. Yes. So it's not a bullshit article. I'm showing you what I've done. But I kind of figured it out. And I like how you compared yourself to these other companies like, Airbnb and all of these. Like these were built after mine. So even though you might look at my numbers and be like, yeah, I wish I made that. I mean, shit, there's way,
Yeah, it's been really interesting because I had, I've sort of wanted to be an entrepreneur for so long and I've tried so many things and so many things that didn't work. And it's always really disheartening. And I don't know if I'm contributing to or helping the problem here, but there's so much selection bias or survivorship bias in everything you read about entrepreneurship now, right? It's only the success stories. It's only the people who make it. It's only the people who get through Y Combinator and make the billion-dollar company or go against all the odds or the Steve Jobs story, right? And what I found is, I was talking with someone else about this as well, and this is going to sound so trite and obvious, but it is incredibly hard to get someone to pay you. Like, it is, I don't think people understand how difficult it is to earn a single dollar on the internet. And it's just fascinating to me how many people are researching this game, like trying to start their own business without having ever earned a single dollar. And I sort of laid out exactly my steps to get there. And yeah, the business is doing great right now, but it took 8 years. And like, that's 2 university degrees. That's a 7-year-old child. I mean, you could do a lot in 8 years, right? So one of the things I laid out in the post, yeah, was what you just mentioned. I listed out all the companies I found recently that were started after ClickMinded, after 8 years. Lyft, that current valuation, $24 billion. Snapchat, $15 billion. Instacart, $7 billion. SoFi, $4 billion. And so that just like, it puts it in perspective a little bit. The other thing too, I listed out while I was in the middle of writing this post. This post took a long time to write, and while I was writing it, I kind of got up and went for a walk, and I walked past the Panda Express, which is an American fast food, Chinese fast food chain. And there was a sign in the window that said, now hiring regional managers, $65,000 a year. And I just couldn't believe it, because I looked at my business. I looked at the first 3 years of revenue I generated, and I thought about how hard it was, how difficult it was, and how I thought I was an unbelievable success that everyone, that all my friends were talking about, and my grandparents would be proud, and people would talk about me for generations, right? And after 3 years, I looked at it, and I would have made more money managing a Panda Express over those 3 years than I would have building my business. So I think I just sort of wanted to lay out, both for people that haven't made it or are trying to make it or have been too afraid to make the jump. I think it's a very reasonable concern to not make the jump. I think sometimes it's easy to question whether or not the juice is worth the squeeze. You know what I mean?
I'm with you. Making the first dollar online was super easy for me. I'll tell you why. I've had about 10, 12 years of sales experience beforehand, right? So door to door, on the phones, retail, like just nothing but sales. So the thing which I knew how to do, and this is why it is very difficult for most people, is I knew what the sales conversation needs to look like, right? So it was super simple for me. But instead of walking around like an idiot around Brooklyn and Queens and the Bronx and hitting the doors, like with the internet, I can dial in exactly who my customer is and target them, right? So I like the leverage, the scale is much, much better on the internet, you know, because I don't know who needs something when I walk into a business. But let's say if I'm marketing courses, like course creators, right? So all I need to do is target everyone on Teachable, Thinkific, and these platforms. And that's it. Like, that's my potential client. So I'm hitting the people I need to talk to very quickly.
But So you're taking like that Brooklyn and Queens hustle you had as a kid and building it in your landing page, basically.
Right? So my landing page is actually an email who I wrote to one of the potential customers before I had this landing page, right? So I just redid it a little bit, but I just wrote that and I put it up there. I was like, that's it. That's what I would tell you. And that's why, you know, when someone says like, you should write like you're writing to a single person. Well, that's what I did. It's simple, right? Like, I just wrote to my client. I was like, this is the landing page. Boom, goes up. But I know what the sale conversation sounds like. And that, you know, that takes a while to figure out, you know.
That's interesting, Tom, because I was just the exact opposite. Like, I wasn't a natural sales guy, didn't have a lot of sales experience. I like public speaking, and I was good in front of an audience, and I was a teacher and all that. But yeah, the sales stuff was not natural for me at all. So in the early days, yeah, I did a lot of reverse engineering of people who were good at it, but I wasn't running lemonade stands early as a kid and going door to door like it sounds like you were. So it sounds like a natural advantage for you. But I will say, like, even though that might have been a natural advantage, guys like you, I don't see turning the corner and becoming kind of the internet nerds that we are today, right? Most of the guys I know like you are still knocking on doors and doing that, and not necessarily unsuccessful or successful, but just that they don't, I meet more people that started on the internet and started as nerds and then have to learn sales, not guys that do it in reverse like you. So it's kind of an interesting upbringing you got there.
Yeah. So this is funny, and I completely agree with you. Like, this has been like my biggest problem for many, many years. When I, you know, go on podcasts and things and people look at my resume, they're like, oh my God, how have you done all this in your life? And I'm like, you know, it's not actually something I'm proud of. All the things I've done, like, you know, the
music. Really?
Yeah, because, you know, I was a hustler, you know. I hustled, you know. I've done so many projects and, you know, made money left and right. But, you know, the real business guys for the last few years shitted on me all the time. Like, Tom, you got to stop this hustling mentality, right? You got to stop that. You just focus on one thing, do it well, figure out the business fundamentals, even though I don't think there are any business fundamentals, really.
Survival. Just survive.
But, you know, I got the point, right? Like, build something. Don't stop hustling and build something. And when I did that, my hours went down. My stress went down. My money went up. The focus is incredible, right? Because instead of hustling left and right, like I'm just focusing on one thing and I'm doing it well. But this hustle thing, it was actually a crutch for a long time. And I've, you know, like our mutual friends, like, you know, Dan Andrews and a few of them, like they always like mess with me, right? Like, you know, hey, hustler, you got to stop.
That is fascinating you bring that up because I was actually just talking with a buddy of mine about this. And I was in the similar boat. You mentioned, you know, we're in the same, we were talking before the show, we're part of the same entrepreneurship group. And there's a lot of people who get into the game through, it's the early SEO AdSense stuff, maybe online poker, like a lot of the, a lot of that sort of, everyone sort of came from the same space. And it was actually interesting. It's not just our group. More than half of the guys I was working with on the Airbnb growth team were either early internet marketers, online poker guys, like everyone on the growth team was kind of in the same boat and then turned it around. But with ClickMinded, it actually was the exact same thing. Tried multiple different ideas. ClickMinded was probably idea 15. And, you know, you can tell the easy way to test this is how many unused domains you have in your domain hosting account, your web hosting account.
Yes.
Right? Because, like, just the number of domains and side projects I would try and, you know, lead generation sites I would spin up and just it's a weird balance because I was moving from idea to idea to idea. Some would last a year, some would last a month. But I don't think I would have found ClickMinded unless I had that mentality, that sort of hustle it up, make it happen, you got to pay rent mentality. But the key was exactly what you just said, which is, you know, having someone smack me over the head and be like, listen, idiot, build something for real and quit moving from to the next shiny object. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, the hustle thing still kicks in anytime my back's against the wall, you know? But the great thing is that I just refocus on the same thing. And, you know, I snap back into, you know, from whatever, you know, obstacle very quickly. Because I don't think about, you know, oh, let's buy a new domain and start this. Like, no, this is good. It's working. Let's just, you know, figure out how to solve, you know, problem Z or, you know, there's so many. But yeah, it's funny, man, that hustling thing. Like, I used to be so proud of it. And now I'm just like, it's overrated. Let's not go into that right now. It's not
interesting. It's just, I don't know. We grew up in very different ways and sort of ended up in very similar spaces. It's just kind of an interesting how we zigzagged to the same spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. With your course, you know, cause I know a lot of people will be listening who are course creators. Tell me some of the things that are working and aren't working. Cause you mentioned some in the article, but I'd like you to go over that when it comes to selling right now.
Yeah. So you mean like sort of what tactics are working for us in terms of closing new customers and all that?
But more systems, right? Like what you figured out that works? Like what are the systems in place that work for you?
Yeah, sure. So I think the big thing, we had this big push towards automation, and I did something pretty controversial that a lot of people were interested in that I wrote about in the blog post, which is I brought on a co-founder basically 5 years into the business. And Eduardo, he's my now co-founder, and he really put most of his focus on automating a lot of the business. We're built on Teachable, similar to you. We do the classic setup of a standard WordPress install and then Teachable installed on a subdomain.
Yep.
And we have automated almost every part of our business. So we have a ton of top of funnel content. Backing up a bit, ClickMinded. So ClickMinded started as an SEO course and now we're a comprehensive digital marketing training course. So a training platform, seven courses, 35 hours of content. And our models, we use world-class instructors that do this stuff every day, right? So the social media course is taught by the former head of social media at Airbnb. The content marketing course is taught by the content strategist from Lyft. I used to manage search engine optimization at PayPal and Airbnb, and I teach the SEO course. And so that's sort of the angle we do. Our customers are beginner to intermediate digital marketers, and a lot of people are using our stuff to train up their teams, train up internal staff, things like that. Our basic model, we have a ton of top of funnel content with corresponding content upgrades or lead magnets to all of that. And then we're usually pushing people into mini courses and webinars. So we have a lot of success in getting people on webinars and offering them a discount there or getting them into the mini course. It shouldn't be a surprise at all, but you know, most of our courses are 4 to 6 hours long. And when you can give users 30 minutes of free access to the course, there's a massive lift in conversion there. One quick tactic we did on these mini courses that's been super helpful. We actually revoke access if you don't complete it. So this is something we, Brennan Dunn has done a lot of stuff like this with some of his Drip Mastery course is really good for this, explaining how to do it. But yeah, you enroll in free access to the mini course and we say, hey, you're enrolled. This is great. You have 7 days to complete this. It's 30 minutes long. If you complete it, you'll get lifetime access to this, right? So anytime we update it or any of the templates, downloadables, you'll get lifetime access. If you don't finish within 7 days, we revoke your access and you'll never get it again. We see a massive number of people then completing it. And then when we give them a pitch a little bit later, obviously the conversion rate is huge there. So that's kind of one thing we're doing that's having a lot of success.
That's interesting. How do you revoke that? Is that a Zapier thing or is it?
Yep. Yeah? Zapier and Drip. Yep.
Interesting. Yeah, that seems super smart. When you're first targeting cold traffic, right? And I remember in the article it said, I think, just SEO and YouTube.
Yep.
Where do you send them? And how do you figure out the best places that to send them to and how you came about that?
Yeah, so we made a very clear, we sort of, the way we matrix it out is we have three customer avatars, in-house marketers, entrepreneurs, and agencies, consultants and agencies, between 2 to 100 employees roughly. So those are our three avatars. And then we have 7 topics: SEO, paid ads, which is mostly Facebook ads and AdWords, content marketing, social media marketing, Google Analytics, sales funnels, email marketing. And so you kind of hit the matrix on one of those things. You're an entrepreneur interested in social media, or you're a, you're an in-house marketer interested in SEO. And in general, yeah, we create content based on any one of those topics. So we set up guardrails. Once we decided to create all this content, we set up guardrails where our content has to fit in one of these boxes.
Right.
And we do, again, this is a lot of Brennan Dunn's stuff. He's actually creating, he's had some problems with Drip recently. We have as well. He's creating a new stuff for ConvertKit. But yeah, he does a lot of this where you can basically target people in Drip and send them down certain funnels based on how they're interacting with the site, and customize the messaging you have with them as well. So, you know, we create email marketing content, or we create, it's very meta, but content marketing content, right? And then our goal with any of that top of funnel content is just grab the email and push them, sort of drip stuff out to them over time.
So how do you figure out what works best to grab the emails? Because that's, you know, a big question for a lot of course creators, a huge question. You know, the lead magnet's not really working, or, you know, I'm sending them to a blog post and they never hit the call to action at the end. How do you guys figure this out?
Yeah, the big ways we do it are, first we use the Thrive Leads welcome mat, or I forget what they call it. I think Sumo calls it welcome mat. Thrive Leads calls it something else. But sort of the cover the screen, a little bit invasive, a little bit annoying, but it freaking works. call to action. And then we also have inline embeds as well. So, hey, when I get the full thing as a downloadable, enter your email. The other thing too that we do that's really, really helpful and is we use this tool called the Write Message. It's Brennan Dunn's tool. I'm full disclosure, I'm a very, very tiny microscopic investor in Write Message, but I was a user of the tool way before I invested in it. But the Write Message is really cool because you can target your messaging on the user based on where in the funnel they are. So yes, we have lead magnets for top of funnel traffic, right, in our content, but those, the position on the page where those lead magnets are, those change based on where in the funnel they are. So, okay, you're cold traffic, you're typing in social media content calendar, you find us on Google, and you're trying to get a social media content calendar, right? You see that lead magnet, and it says, hey, get the full thing, enter your email. That moves you from top to middle. if you come back to the site and we already have your email, we change out that embed automatically changes based on write message. And it says, because we know you're a user on the site, and we say, hey, we have a social media content calendar webinar next week. Click here to reserve, right? So that's trying to move you from middle to bottom. So we basically scoped out these aspects of our site that are calls to action. And if you're cold traffic, they're lead magnets. But if you're already a user on the site, we're trying to push you further and further down the funnel on that same spot. It's all done through write message, and it's been really helpful.
Yeah, you mentioned virtual summits a little bit, that they didn't work for you. And I got to tell you, like, I've been in a couple of them. And I barely get any traffic. You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just not a big fan. I don't know why. I think it's just too much content and everyone's doing them now. But you mentioned they didn't work really well for you too.
Yeah. And it was a surprise, but it was horrible. it was not good. It was expensive. It was time consuming. It was taxing on the business and on the team. And it was interesting too, because, you know, so my co-founder Eduardo, he spent a year at Teachable. He was a content marketing guy at Teachable, and Teachable's had a ton of success with these, selling their own users on webinars and virtual summits and stuff like this. And we've modeled a lot of our webinar formula based on them, kind of on how they do it. And so our webinars, based on what Teachable does with webinars, have been very successful. Teachable's webinars are fantastic. You should definitely check them out. Their virtual summits, I'm pretty sure they're successful for them, but we tried a similar thing. We brought all of our instructors on. We had 8 instructors over 4 days. And yeah, I think it was exactly what you just said. It was too much content. We were sort of selling to a crowd that had already casually let us know that they weren't interested, right?
Yeah.
I understand why people say they work on paper, but we have a lot more success with 1-hour webinar, 95% free actionable content, and then, hey, if you want to take the offer, sign up today, right at the end. And that is just way more effective, way more sort of operationally inexpensive for us. And we just had a lot more success with individual webinars on one particular topic. Because it turns out, I think the biggest takeaway was, surprise, surprise, not most people aren't going to go to all 8 of your webinars, pal. Like, we should Tommy from today would have smacked Tommy from a year and a half ago in the face over this. You know, it's just too much, I think. So it didn't work for us.
Well, you know, I thought about doing one. But before that, I was like, I'll just join a couple of other people's. And one of them was the Thinkific summit. They did like a 6 or 7 day one. And I was, you know, I came in a little bit late. You know, I just woke up. I was like, hey, you know, put me in it. And I was on probably day 5. And I was like, I think people are just worn out. Virtually zero traffic. But the funny thing is, some of my current clients, they messaged me like 3-4 months later. I was like, hey, I just heard you on the on the Thinkific thing. I finally got around to it. Yeah. And I'm like, my God, there's no way I'm doing a virtual summit. You know, it's just, there's no reason. This doesn't work. Webinars, yeah. I have a lot of success just with the clients too, you know, doing webinars. It's a bit of a challenge to get it right, especially to make an evergreen webinar. Because, you know, if it's a good one, like the percentage, the conversions just go down by like 1% in my experience between a live and an evergreen. But that's the challenging part, just getting all the elements right. But they do work. What have you found by tweaking your webinar to make the biggest difference?
Yeah, so we I really like the you know, Ramit Sethi, am I pronouncing his name right? Yeah. I just love his model of, you know, and we really took this to heart. It's like, okay, 98% of what we create is free, but if you want results faster, sign up for the paid product. And that's a lot of what we do. Like you know, we have this new product we created called the SOP Library. We wanted it for ourselves, and we created all these digital marketing SOPs, you know, how to run an email marketing broadcast and reduce 99% of errors, how to install the Google Tag Manager to a WordPress site, just like stuff that a lot of consultants and agencies and in-house marketers are doing all the time. And we give a lot of these SOPs away. You know, some of them are 30-page documents that took us a month to create. We keep them updated, but we give a bunch of these away for free. And then we say, hey, if you want the whole thing, if you want them always updated, if you want custom ones yourself, sign up for the paid product. So, We've had a lot of success on our webinars with that, is we give a lot of very, very, very actionable downloadables and cheat sheets and takeaways. Mm. And of course there's tire kickers. Of course there's people who file a bunch of support tickets and never enroll. Of course there's clowns on the chat that, you know, that are super annoying. But people who realize the value, they come for the webinar, they say, if this is what's free. That's sort of our angle. People saying, if this is what's free, the paid product must be incredible. I'm signing up. And that's, we've had a lot of success with that. So it's just a ton of value up front. And then our closes are pretty standard. I mean, a lot of webinars seem to all sort of be doing the same thing. But Maria Cause or Russell Brunson Perfect Webinar Formula, it's just sort of, you know, you'd show the retail price, you bundle everything together, and then you give a limited time offer at the end with a ton of value and close it out. And we've seen a lot of success with that.
What's the follow-up sequence look like?
After the webinar?
Yeah, after the webinar.
Yeah, so we do one more email saying, hey, here's everything, here's all the downloadables. Actually, we do always, on every webinar, we always do a couple of things that we don't follow up with. So we do give some freebies away that you can't get on the replay email, just to incentivize staying for the whole thing, which is a nice one. And then, yeah, it's just one follow-up. Sorry, it's two follow-ups. Two follow-up emails. And then after that, if they're not enrolling, we take them. We usually say, okay, this person is not interested in this topic. And again, this is from Brennan Dunn's sort of style, is we bring them back into the funnel and try and test out a different topic they might be interested in. Right. And so this sort of, it really depends on your business. If you only have one SKU or one product or one type of intent, this is a little bit different, but we have seven different types of intent.
Right.
And so what we basically do is, okay, we get you on social media. You're interested in social media marketing. We give you a bunch of blog posts and value and content over the course of a couple of days or weeks. And then we offer a webinar and it sort of give you the offer. And if you don't take it, then we bring you back up into our funnel and we sort of randomize the content. We say, okay, are you interested in social SEO? Are you interested in content marketing? Are you interested in Google Analytics? And if you take the bait on one of those, if you click one of those article links, then you get started down the new funnel path. Value, 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 value. Here's the mini course. Here's the webinar. Try and buy now. That kind of thing.
What's the refund rate on most of these?
Our refund rate is really low. It's under 5%. And we always know, we almost always know right when they enroll who's going to ask for refunds. like you can tell based on the country IP. I don't want to dig into too many details, but the country IP address, they check the terms of service before they check out. We look them up on LinkedIn and we say, this guy's definitely going to ask for a refund.
Oh, wow.
And so, but yeah, in general, our model too is that we include like unlimited lifetime access and free updates for life. So anytime we do a future update, you get it for free. So a lot of people are like, okay, it's one time fee and I get all the future updates. I don't want a refund.
What do you do to encourage completion of the courses? Because that's a big problem for course creators too, is that people just don't complete what they bought.
Yeah, really good one. And I wish more people, of course, online courses are my business, but I'm a massive online course nerd as well. And I wish more people would gamify me into finishing their stuff.
Right.
but we do a weekly progress update email. So we let people know how far along they are. It's just a pretty simple one. You get it on Mondays. It lets you know how far along you are and is a call to action to pick back up again where you left off.
Interesting. You mentioned before that you sell to companies to train employees. How do you sell differently to the companies as you would to the regular, you know, one-off buyers?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So we've been playing with outbound sales stuff for the last year. And by playing with, I mean, I've been trying to do this myself and I'm absolutely miserable at it. I'm just so bad at outbound, but a lot of the bigger companies we've had are individuals who signed up, or they signed up under their own volition, and then they said, "Hey, this is really good. Let's get the whole team on this." So it's been very natural, very inbound, and very. We just haven't had to do a lot with it. So our messaging hasn't changed that much, other than when people need certain customizations. So they have a certain number of users they want enrolled, or they want a kind of walkthrough based on their company, but it's very one-off. We haven't really changed the sort of how we sell to these people very much.
Is the pricing different? You know, if there's a company that asks for 20 licenses, are you still charging the same, or is there a discount?
Yep, we offer a discount, and it's always case by case. Right. So we just look at the company, look at the revenue size, look at the number of employees, look at how they'll use it, and it's always case by case.
Cool, man. I think we got a lot out of this. I'm probably missing a lot of good questions, which will be quite an issue asking this or that, but look, it is what it is. Thank you for coming on, Tommy, and where can people find you?
Yeah, we're at clickminded.com. And we just released these awesome. Do you ever play video games in the 90s?
Yeah, man. Like, that was actually the time where I had the time to play video
games. Right. Did you ever have, so this is really dorky, but did you ever buy those Nintendo Powers from the 90s? Like those Nintendo Power strategy guides?
I had a friend who bought those, and I borrow them sometimes, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I love these things. I was obsessed. It's an absolute shocker. I didn't have a girlfriend, right? I can't believe it. But I love these Nintendo Power strategy guides as a kid. And we decided like a couple months ago to create SEO strategy guides and digital marketing strategy guides that are designed like these retro Nintendo Power strategy guides from the 90s.
Oh, that's cool.
So if it's cool, yeah, I'd love to give you the links in the show notes. Yeah. But yeah, other than that, yeah, clickminded.com, and you can email me tommy@clickminded.com.
Yeah, so just send me that link and I'll include that in. That's cool. I want to see that too. I remember them. They had like people's drawings on the envelopes too, like on the second or third page. Like that was the main thing I always looked at too, like the people sending things in.
Man, those are the days. The 90s.
Yeah. The music was much better too.
Yeah, that was a lot of your background for sure.
All right, man. We are done. Before you go, let me know if you enjoyed this interview. Leave a review, subscribe, join the Smart Brand Marketing Facebook page, whatever is easiest. Also, if you need my help marketing your online course, or know that your business could use some SEO, come to smartbrandmarketing.com, check out the case studies, and reach out to me. Once again, smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.